It's a football. It's a football.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Soccer Sense, the Sensible Soccer Podcast. This is Tariq joining you as usual, along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
And we also have in the audience, Jens.
Hey guys.
Okay, so Jens are resident Madrista, but this week no club football, Vishal.
Yes.
We have been dealing with a slow week.
I'm coming out of my depression slowly.
The international break is always depressing.
Yeah.
Particularly depressing when
you choose to watch England and deal with that for 90 minutes.
And then in the injury time, they finally somehow managed to score a goal.
So, that's not exciting. Even when England does it, that's not exciting too.
So England, of course, playing their first competitive game under Big Sam, Sam Allardyce. Really nothing to read into it. Last minute victory at Slovakia.
Yep.
Tough game, good 3 points for them, but I mean, as we have already established, we don't give much of a toss about international football at this point. And we're more worried about what it is going to be like heading into the club scene in the weekend. But before we go there, quick pick, slice of life for listeners of Soccer Sense. We had a lovely letter in the Players' Tribune from Francesco Totti the other day, which said, for Rome.
Yep.
Italian letter that was translated in English, talking about his childhood experiences and his entire journey at Rome. Incredible journey.
Yep.
About to start his 23rd season with Roma. Amazing loyalty. Where he talks about things like, and I'm just reading out of the passage there, it says, it was hard saying no to AC Milan, he refers to about when people from AC Milan had come to recruit him and his mom said no. So it would have meant a lot of money for our family, but my mother taught me a lesson that day, that your home is the most important thing in life. Lovely slice of life.
Yeah.
From Totti out there, something that we believe here in Soccer Sense, but with the march of modern football, we move into more modern things. Where loyalty might not be important, but results are. The Manchester Derby coming up this weekend. First big battle among these insanely rich character filled managerial drama that is the English Premier League this season.
Yes.
Jose Mourinho versus Pep Guardiola.
Yep.
Not the first time they're facing off in the same league. And certainly not the last.
Yep.
But Vishal, you have skin in that game.
Yeah.
How do you see it shaping up?
It's going to be a very interesting setup. I think, firstly, I think the first big challenge is for both the managers. So I think while both of them have won three games on the trot for each other's club, but I think this is the first big challenge even for City. I think City have had, both of them have had it easy on it. So let's see how they cope up with the challenge, where it's going to be a technical master, a tactical masterclass rather, where each manager is going to outthink each other and outplay each other. I think Mourinho is going to set up not to lose more than anything. So I think that's where United do have the upper hand in defence, because I think City's defence is still shaky with John Stones, still not decisive in nature, and Otamendi is still slow in the back. But I think United start with an edge in defence, but at the same time, City also lost out Aguero before the start of this game, which is a huge blow for him. And currently, other than Inacio, they don't have a recognised striker up front. So that might
So City in. Distinctly starting... probably second best in terms of at least how the squads are
like. Looks like it, but you never know. This is an interesting setup, but I think
it's after all a derby game.
The home advantage might come back to favour United in this, but let's see.
Okay, so at Old Trafford, one thing we are hoping is that we are not treated to another goalless first half. Hopefully that's in the past, because a certain Louis van Gaal is no longer in charge of Manchester United.
And this week, Soccer Sense is introducing something absolutely new. We are reaching out to you, the passionate football fan. And in the very first such segment, we have decided to talk to an Arsenal fan because, well, Arsenal deserves to finish first in something.
On Soccer Sense this week is a particularly passionate soccer fan, a sports writer with Scoop Hoop News. Welcome to the pod, the first kind of non-resident podcaster to join Soccer Sense. Vinayak, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Vinayak, you are kicking off our series of what we call Soccer Sense Diaries, where we are going and talking to football fans around the country, people that we know, and just trying to understand basically what the game means to them, because, you know, being a football fan in India is a very unique experience. So how has the experience been for you watching football? How long have you been actually watching football?
So, I mean, I've been watching football as a fan since 94, 13 years now. I think 2003 was about the time I started following it, you know, regularly. I used to know what happened before. Like, you know, my father used to watch the World Cup. He's a big World Cup, international football fan. He hates club football. So, every 4 years, you know, he used to watch the World Cup. I used to, you know, just be aware of what's going on. But I started following around 2003. Kind of, you know, in a couple of seasons that I actually started following closely.
Okay.
So that's kind of where my Arsenal love comes into.
Anything particularly striking about watching Arsenal or the Premier League and other football on TV those days?
So, I mean, what attracted me to the game was the simplicity of it. As an Indian, you know, we all grow up watching cricket. You know, it's quite a complicated game in terms of the rules, the skills involved and all that. But when it comes to football, you know, the reason we all know it's popular is because of the simplicity of the game. You start following it, and then you just in love with it, you know, the moment you start following it in detail. So that's how it happened. And the weird part is in 2003, 2004, that was the time around actually the set-top boxing came in. So I couldn't actually follow the matches live. What I did was usually just, you know, read about it. And, you know, the idea that the invincible season was unfolding. So it was mostly me reading about it on papers. Rather than, yeah, actually watching it, but
somehow
that stuck. So.
Okay, and it was of course a historic season. As an Arsenal fan, you thought, I mean, this is the best of worlds. You could not lose.
Yeah. So that is kind of odd. So the first season I started following, they won something, and they haven't won anything since. So it went tough.
Take us through this unique Arsenal fan experience. That how do you define or describe this Arsenal fan experience? To an outsider to try and explain to them what goes on.
So, what I tell most people is that, you know, when it comes to Arsenal, it's the hope that kills, always. So, every time you think, you know, some sort of light at the end of the tunnel is around the corner, and then it's dark again. But it also makes those, you know, the rare highs almost sweeter. For example, the 2006 final, the Champions League run, that was something very special, you know, with a team that barely European champion quality. They went all the way to the finals, stretched Barcelona all the way. That was one of the highs. I mean, losing it, but it's still one of the most memorable moments. In the FA Cup run, coming back from 2-0 down to beat Hull 3-2. So the highs were made a little more special because of the lows. You always hope that there are more highs, but
So you have almost exclusively watched Arsenal over the Arsene Wenger era, and which is true of most Arsenal fans, because since the Premier League has been beaming live in India, it's practically been Arsene Wenger at the helm at Arsenal. Tells you of his longevity, but is Arsene Wenger becoming kind of a Hollywood franchise? Is he more like a Fast and the Furious, and everybody just wants the franchise to shut down, but somehow the sequels keep coming?
You were right about the fact that, you know, the affection that I have for Arsenal is almost exclusively intertwined with the respect I have for Wenger. Arsene is the reason I started following the beautiful football that appeared in 2003-2004. That's what got me going. And, you know, we have a group of Arsenal fans who, you know, we just love everything Wenger. The way he talks, the way he analyzes the game, you know, the clarity of his thought. But it's been more and more difficult over the last year, I think, because I was always firmly on the Wenger in side for the longest time, because, you know, I could understand where the club were coming from, that we need to be self-sustainable, you know, just do our, you know, let's be a club that, you know, runs the right way. When I say the right way, it's not like the other clubs are doing it the wrong way, but, you know, be within your own means, don't overspend. So play attractive football, that's all. But over the last year, it seems like we've taken it too far. It's like Wenger is struggling to adapt to the changes that have been going on for what, the last 6-7 years now. But he is too old-fashioned, too stubborn. I mean, most great managers are stubborn. I mean, Ferguson never signed that central midfielder that he badly wanted for. He retired, right? So that's what makes these great managers great. But it is also getting to a point where, you know, the, it seems like the club is about balancing the money more than, you know, winning trophies. It's gotten to a point where, you know, the owners, the designees and, you know, the growing kids are all about running the club as a business enterprise more than a club that should be winning trophies. So that's kind of where I am right now. I think this is the toughest the Premier League has been in the 25 years that we've...
Yeah, in terms of parity, talent, and how much of a competitive league it has become now, probably.
Exactly, and the managerial lineup, you know, just the sheer quality of the managers in the Premier League is unparalleled in any other football league around the world. Mm-hmm. Except for maybe Ancelotti and Simeone, I don't think any of the top managers are outside England. You have two championship managers who have won Champions League before, and that was Benitez. So, have such a competitive field and it's going to be tougher, right? Probably tougher than ever for Wenger to win one. But we watch and hope.
Obviously, at some point of time, you'll have to reckon with the end of a Wenger era, a non-Wenger Arsenal to be watched. But you will obviously still come back to football, the game. What makes you every week sit down and look at an Arsenal game or watch any other football game for that matter? I mean, distilling the philosophy down to why do you watch football in the first place?
I'm an Arsenal fan, but I, in general, still watch most games on TV if I have the time to. I mean, I watch the Premier League thoroughly, if I could say so. You know, I almost watch all the big matches. My weekend plans usually rotate around football. So it's not just enough for Arsenal. Arsenal is the club that I, you know, prefer among all the other ones, but I just like watching football. And what attracted me to Arsenal is the philosophy of, you know, keeping on the ground, quick passing, pace, and all that. Attacking football that, you know, that Wenger has made a name for himself. So that is how I started into it, and that's the reason I still continue watching. You know, even I watch a non-Arsenal match, I'm always looking to support the underdog. That's kind of how it works. And also, like watching teams play attacking football. Liverpool have always been one of my, you know, I wouldn't say freaking favorites, but I love watching Liverpool. I love watching City when they're going, you know, when they're in their mood.
Yeah, City players seem to have a switch-on-switch-off button that they use alternatively every week.
Yeah, exactly. That makes you make the rest of the plans of the week, and, you know, based on the Premier League schedule. Yeah. So, there you know that. That's how it was. Klopp has been a great addition in terms of the big matches, at least. So that's kind of how, you know, you start watching football and then you see Klopp on the sidelines. What he does is just endearing, you know, even for a non-Liverpool fan. So that's the thing about Premier League. That's why it has all these fans around the world.
So it's kind of a life-affirming thing that you get to do every weekend.
The fever pitch, the British movie featuring Colin Firth. I would recommend that for any football fan, not just an Arsenal fan. The way he explains the feeling you get when you step in the stadium for the first time as a kid, you know, the first it's all stairs, cement bricks, and then you suddenly see the green of the pitch and how it stays with you forever.
Years I've been going to Arsenal. 21 years.
I'm going next week to a football match.
Yeah! And the way he describes, you know, the emotional connect of a fan with a football club, that, you know, not many people would actually understand, many people would call you crazy for. He puts that beautifully in words, both in the book and in the movie. So it's a must read, must watch for most football fans. I'd also like to add, about the experience of watching a live football game. I've seen one Premier League game, had the chance to go to the Emirates in the Boxing Day, beaten the Tolars. But in general, the experience of watching a football game live here in India, that is something that all fans should, get in their lifetime. I've never seen a cricket match live, but I've seen so many football matches live. You just get to see a lot more when you watch it live than you actually watch it live in the stadium than when you sit and watch it at the TV. Without the commentary, you see the players moving, you see how the managers orchestrating the whole team, the runs off the ball, what the players do, the tactics involved. It's just another experience to watch football live in a stadium. So that is something I would recommend to every football fan. If it's an ISL game or if it's an I-League game, whatever it is, if you could just go watch a few football games live, there's nothing like it.
Okay.
So that's something so, that I would recommend to all fans.
I think that's a fantastic message to end on. Thank you, Vinayak, very much for joining us.
Thanks.
But moving on, there is one other game that we'd want to focus on because this week, this is also as important. Liverpool take on Leicester City. The champions, defending champions, wanting to establish serious credentials.
Yep.
Liverpool wanting to make sure that nobody doubts their mid-table credential. That could be an interesting game because Ranieri versus Klopp is no less intriguing a managerial matchup than a Pep versus Guardiola.
For sure. So,
Mourinho.
I think it's going to be interesting because Leicester have gone out and bought a bunch of players now. So I think Leicester are in an awkward position where I'm not sure that they really want to change the setup. They really want to change mess around with their starting level because they play so well together. But they will have to. They obviously gone and spent big money, so they'll have to bring in new players who will take time to settle. So if they're going to do that, this is Klopp's chance to really go out there and beat Leicester.
But if Leicester stick to the game plan, we know what happened to Liverpool against Burnley.
Yeah.
And we know that Liverpool are vulnerable even when they have a lot of possession and if they don't kill the game off.
Yeah. So Leicester anyway are a team that don't strive for possession, who don't want to do anything with possession. They will play, beat you on the counter, they will play quick, they will pass quicker and they will make sure they score. The thing about Leicester is efficiency. So if chances are given, Vardy will take them, Mahrez will take them. So we'll have to
figure out. We saw Mahrez back in form against Swansea. So.
And it's necessarily not the case with Liverpool where they're definitely not up and running in terms of finishing and scoring as much required. So we'll have to figure that out.
And possible injury problems with Sadio Mane
picking
up injury during the international calendar.
Yeah.
So
interesting. Yeah, but I think firstly, Klopp needs to really look at putting Sturridge back into the starting 11 because he is their best striker. Like playing for Firmino is not the answer. Ings is still, I don't know what the situation with Ings is. So if playing Mane and Sturridge together would be far more effective than just playing Mane and Firmino. So I really hope he starts bringing Sturridge back into the squad.
And we bring in our resident Madrista here. Gents, your first impressions of Madrid this season? You have been following the La Liga. We don't as much. That's why we bring in.
We're playing good soccer. So basically, we're scoring also. The only problem still looks is the defense part of it. It's always been the problem with the Madrid, wherein all the defense guys want to go score goals up front. They don't want to defend at the back. So I think that's still the problem there. But I hope they improve on that part of it.
Okay, so Madrid look to have gotten off to a solid start, but so have pretty much all the other Spanish teams. And, you know, it really turns out to be those derbies and the El Clasicos that finally decide the league one way or another, and that we have seen for all the remaining seasons, which makes these analyses very easy, which is why we have reduced Serie A analysis slot down to 10 seconds.
Yeah, you were just wondering.
Next time Karan comes on. So that's that for this international break edition of Soccer Sense, but we shall be bringing you more, and we shall be definitely bringing you the review of that big Manchester derby that's taking place in the weekend. There is likely to be a lot to talk about, and we shall do that next week.
Yep.
Till next time, this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
See you guys.
And gents.
See you guys
next week.